Well, you can see the words on the screen. Welcome, and we're glad you're here. We are glad you're here. We're glad to be together. It's wonderful to be able to meet together in Jesus' name. It's lovely to be together as family. I realize there's extended family here today, and that's a precious time that we quite often get to enjoy this time of year. But it's wonderful. It's great to be in the family of God and to be together because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got something I trust to celebrate as this new year begins. Welcome to 2022, whether you like it or not. So the year has begun, and I don't know, it's just a little thing. It seems like a little thing, but whenever I write the date, I never write, even if there's not much room, I never write, you know, what is today, the second of the first 22. I never write that because I want to acknowledge my Lord, even in writing a date, because it was give or take a year or two, 2022 years ago, there was a life-changing thing that happened, a world-changing thing, an eternity-changing thing happened when God sent His Son. And so we are a privileged people to know that and to celebrate that, and we're a people with the opportunity to give thanks to God today. So we're going to sing a song together, and there are so many things that the Lord has done, too many things for us all to have, in a sense, voice to tell our story. But I pray that even as we fellowship together, you will have opportunity to tell part of God's redemption story that you've seen Him working out in your life. And if you haven't seen that yet, I pray that even today that you will be recognizing, wow, maybe God is doing something in my life. I did actually look in my desk this morning thinking I could put my hand on readily a poem that Henry Lawson wrote, I think, for the turn of the century in 1804. Couldn't find it. Moved house. It'll be in a box somewhere. But it's a great poem. And it's called "Give Yourself a Show," and it speaks of life back then, 100 and however many years ago. Those are good, 117 years ago, would that be right? And it's not dissimilar to life now. And it makes political comment that would actually still fit now. So we see that things can, within the hearts of men and women, still sort of sit the same in so many ways. But there is one who gives you a go. There's one who gives you opportunity like you've never probably even imagined, and even if you've known and followed Him for years. And there's a psalm here, I would like to read the beginning of it, Psalm 107. Those of you who you received the email, you may have taken the opportunity to meditate on this over the last couple of days. Psalm 107 says this, and I pray this would resonate in your heart, because we're told that this should resonate in your heart. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." There's a lot of psalms that say that. But this psalm says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this." That's a good thing for you to be saying. It's a good thing for you to be saying. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And I pray that there will be some say-so happening in our lives in 2022. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. He let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. For He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." And you know, there are aspects of that, and for those that have been part of the church here for the last few weeks, you've known that I've not been able to get out of Luke chapter 1. And there are parts of this that seem to resonate with what Mary couldn't help but say about the good things that God had done for her and was doing even through her. And so I pray that your heart will resonate today with thanks, because the Lord is good, and because his love endures forever, and because it is good for you to say so. You know, if you are redeemed, if you're one of the redeemed, if your life has been bought back by God's initiative, if you've said yes to that, then you've got something to be so thankful for. You've got something to explore for the rest of the time that God gives you breath, and that's to discover how good is his love. Lord, move in us by your Spirit. Give understanding and revelation and conviction by your Spirit, Lord, that we might not leave this place the same way we walk in. We might step into 2022, Lord, in a different way perhaps to how we walked in 2021, because, Lord, of your great redemption. Your great redemptive purposes worked out in the lives of people like us, Lord, for your name's sake, for your glory. And so, Father, we thank you. We ask you to bless this time. We ask you to bless the little ones that are here, this next generation. And that we would believe and we would trust and we would pray that they would be ones who would know your love and grace and forgiveness, and they would follow you, Lord Jesus. Bless these little ones that are here with us. They're important to you, Lord Jesus. They're important to us. We thank you for every one of them and ask a blessing upon them today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, church family. Today we're going to be reading from the first book of Peter in chapter 1. And it's pretty cool for Peter, isn't it? He was right there at the time, one of the 12 disciples with Jesus. He saw and witnessed everything that went on. And he dedicated the rest of his life telling people about what he saw and about his Saviour. And here we are much later in his life. And he's an established leader himself by this time. And he's writing to a church that's largely persecuted in a time where a place that we would know now as modern Turkey. And he's encouraging them. And so we pick it up at verse 13 where it says, "Therefore, gird up your minds, be sober, set your hope fully upon the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you invoke as Father him who judges each impartially according to his deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or without spot. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. Through him you have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." Amen.
Thanks, Bart. Great. We preached through 1 Peter here, I guess, the best part of a year ago, and I think we've been through 2 Peter since then, so that's a pretty flash bookmark you've got there, Bart. Yeah, gee whiz, I haven't got one like that, but anyway, let's see. Is that yours or Eleanor's? That's Eleanor's, yeah. I'm actually hoping that you don't see this, what I share now is just like a really good beginning of the year type motivational talk that you sort of feel a little bit G'd up about and encouraged by, but you actually miss the point, because if you think it's just a good motivational talk, well then you certainly have missed the point. And I would love for you to have the opportunity, because you do have the opportunity to get your Bible and to sit and read, and if you just use this time as a step into God's Word, to look for yourself and to think about it and to ask God, what is it that you would say to me from your Word? And whether it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, or any other part of that great book, toward the end of your Bible, or back about in the middle of your Bible in Psalms, which Psalm 107, which is where we're going to look this morning. It will do your heart good. It'll do your mind good. It will do your life good as you step into this year to receive this truth and this instruction from God. And so, you know, I don't mind if my words fade away, but the word of God that is read to you, has been read to you, and that we will read together, I pray that it will so be seated in your heart that this won't look anything like a good motivational talk. It'll just be truth that will grow into something that that you need, that every single one of us needs. Because I think this is a substantial opportunity that is God-given. And my encouragement in this is that in the very opening lines where it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good and his love endures forever," is yes, that's in a sense a common phrase in this book of songs, which is what Psalms, the book of Psalms is. It's a collection of great songs, old songs, but great songs. And then in verse 2, it just says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this." And I just wonder whether you would step into 2022 and that you would know that you've got a story to tell. You've got a story to tell because you have been called into a bigger story than anything that's bigger than what you've dreamed of, that is more substantial than things that you've dreamed of, that is more worthwhile than things that you've dreamed of. And I can say that from experience. There are many, many things that I've dreamed of and hoped for in my life, and I've seen God write a different story and a bigger story than what I could have written myself. And so it's saying, let the redeemed of the Lord say this. What are we to say? Go back to verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. See, Narika's going to have a terribly hard time chasing me around with a data projector. But she's going to do her best, I can tell you. She's a chip off the old block. Her dad is just brilliant at this. Chases me around like crazy. And I just want to say this, that you've got a story. If you have come to faith in Jesus, if you've known that convincing work of his Spirit working in your life, so that you've recognized that God sent his Son, it wasn't just a Christmas kind of a story thing that they kind of remember in December, but it's a truth for you that is life for you and is forgiveness for you, because as Daniel explained, everybody needs forgiveness. We need forgiveness between us and each other, but more than that, we need forgiveness between us and God. And we, if you're a redeemed person, if your life has been brought back from what Peter describes as a worthless way of life that was handed down to you, it was an infection that you didn't catch because it was in the air. It wasn't a airborne germ. It was a heart-born germ that you were born with, that was passed on from Adam. And everybody's been born with it. I remember a young fellow who became a believer and had started to become established in the things of God. And I remember when his first child was born, and I remember watching an argument going on with him on Facebook. Facebook's a great place to have arguments, isn't it? You know, you just sort of punch it in and hit send or whatever you do. Hit done. That's done. And he was arguing the fact that his little son, his firstborn son, didn't have a sin nature. I said, "You just wait. You'll be convinced otherwise." Fortunately, he was having an argument with somebody that had good theological grasp of things and could explain, yes, actually, he did have a sin nature, and I think he now is fully convinced. But it's an amazing thing that which you were born into, God has done something about. Why? Because his love, his mercy, his compassion, you know, this word that we have here, because he is good, his love endures forever. You know, it's hard to translate that just in that word. Because it means mercy, it means compassion, it means tender mercy. It means grace to you. It means God cares deeply about you and doesn't want to leave you in the situation that you're in. He doesn't want to leave you separated from himself. He doesn't want to leave you suffering the wages of sin, which is death. Death between you and God, death of relationships, death of every good thing that God has designed to happen in your life. Sin diminishes, sin kills off. And God does something about that in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you know that, and if you trust in that, and you've said, Lord Jesus, please, I need your forgiveness. I need you to save me from a worthless way of life. I need to be redeemed from that. Then you've got a story to tell. And it doesn't matter whether you're a little one that's grown up and has got, and your mum and dad are followers of Jesus, and so you're kind of blessed to know this from your first years. And you haven't been left to wander and find your way without this wonderful truth being lived out in front of you. And my life has been blessed because I grew up with the example of my parents following Jesus and explaining the things of God to me and living out their redemption story so I could see that this was for real. And it didn't mean that I was just automatically a Christian. But it certainly blessed my life with truth sown into my heart so that I could see that, yes, I need to take Jesus seriously. I need to take this offer of the love of God seriously. And I need to receive his love. I need to receive his forgiveness personally. And you can pray for these little ones that be what happens in their lives. There's a blessing in that. Well, as we look through this psalm, you're going to see four scenarios. And I don't know whether there's a scenario that resonates for you. There probably will be aspects of at least one of these scenarios that resonates for you. So here we go. We'll start at verse 1 again, Narika, because this is what I want you to remember in 2022, because this is what the redeemed of the Lord need to be saying. We need to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he has redeemed from the hand of the foe. You've got an adversary, Satan, who hates you, who hates God's creation, who will do everything in his limited power to destroy your life. But fortunately, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from the hand of the foe if you put your faith and your trust in Christ. Those that he has gathered from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. Now here's some scenarios. Verse 4, some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no ways to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, their lives ebbed away, where they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. I remember when Lynn and I were, and Sarah and Daniel, when they were little, we were traveling south along the road that goes straight down the middle of the Northern Territory. We'd been asked to serve in Alice Springs for a while, and we'd been up around the Katherine area serving there, and we are traveling south, and the place was getting drier and drier, and from a person that's grown up in sort of Victoria, New South Wales, where you're used to some green grass and some big trees, and all you can see is kind of scrub and red sand and spinifex, and occasionally you see some Hereford cattle, and they seem to do all right. I couldn't work out how can these cattle survive in this terrible country. And as I was driving down, I'm looking around, the closer we got to Alice Springs, the worse things seemed to get as far as the landscape. And I thought, how could anybody live here? How could anybody live in this desert place? And we served for a fair while in some of those desert places, and it kind of grows on you after a while. But it's a hard place to survive in. You wouldn't want to be there too far away from a water supply. But people can be living their lives lost. They can have wandered and they're just lost. Somehow they've just got lost. And that's this scenario. And they come to a place where they cry out to the Lord. And we can be living our lives and life is just a whole lot drier and a whole lot more hopeless than we ever thought it could be. And we are just lost. Without Jesus, you are lost. But you don't need to be lost, because he comes after the lost ones. All you need to do is cry out, because this is reiterated over and over in every single one of these scenarios. It says, then they cried out to the Lord. And perhaps at the very beginning of 2022, that's what you've got to do. You've got to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I can't do this by myself. Lynn and I were sitting on the beach yesterday with my niece Cassie, and usually you can walk over there to across the footbridge and you see a fisherman here and maybe a fisherman up there and maybe somebody going for a walk. And there we were sitting with a crowd of people, and there were people in the water, and I was just looking around. How many of these people know Jesus? How many of these people are just lost? Wandering around in a wasteland. Finding no way for their lives to be truly satisfied. Thirsty for something, but don't even really know what they're thirsty for. God has done something about that. There comes a place where we have to cry out to him in our trouble, in our need, in our hunger, in our thirst, in our dissatisfaction, and say, Lord, save me, deliver me, help me. In the second scenario, in verse 10, No, she didn't. Some sat in darkness, in deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they rebelled against the words of God. I wonder if this is not 2002 in Australia. 2022. Yeah, I'm glad you're listening, Lynn. I wonder if this is not Australia in 2022. They rebel against the words of God. They despise the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumble, and there was no one to help. I think that is so often the case for people in our time. They're stuck. They're stuck in a dark place. Why is it that depression is rampant? Why is it that anxiety is rampant? Why is it that the level of dissatisfaction, no matter how many possessions we've got, is rampant in our lives? I think we sit in a dark place in Australia. We've got everything that we could possibly want. We've got the highest standard of living in the world. I think Norway, us, we're right up there. And yet it doesn't satisfy. We're locked into wanting more and more and more. And that's a scenario that exists. And there comes a time for people in Australia today where they need to cry out to the Lord in their trouble. Because it says here, and he will save them from their distress. He brought them out of deepest darkness and gloom. And he broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. So there's another scenario. There's another one here in verse 17. So there's all these stories of redemption. Stories where people are stuck and lost. Stories where people have chosen, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to pursue. This is what I'm going to sit with. And we don't realize, if we're not following after, if we're not hearing the counsel of God, then we're stuck. Some commentators would see that verse 17 and onwards speak of people whose lives struggle with illness, but I think it's more than that. Because it says this in verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. I've walked with people like that. And it was an illness, not because of a germ that they caught, but because of sin in their heart, and because of a desire to pursue things that they thought would give them life but didn't. And I've walked with many a young man, and for Lynn and I, we've walked with some young women who have wanted their lives back. And they were the cool kids, and they thought it was great to experiment with stuff when they were growing up, and they were cooler than everybody else, and they were having more fun, supposedly, than everybody else. But the Bible says that they became fools. And through their rebellious ways, they suffered afflictions because of their iniquity. And I think this actually even speaks to could speak to a level of addiction. And I don't know whether that's something that that you struggle with. I think some of us are more susceptible to addiction than others. But it even speaks into a scenario like that. There is a redemption story for people who struggle with addiction. And I've walked with men who struggle with addiction to pornography. And I've seen God do mighty things in their life. And it's been a hard battle for them. And there are men and women in this place who have struggled with all sorts of addictions. And they have a redemption story. They know the mighty things that God has done for them. And I've walked with people who have spent their money on stuff and have in a sense said, that's more important than having money for food. And they've been in desperate situations. And I've seen people who have drawn near to the gates of death because of the things that they have pursued. You probably have seen that too. But theirs could be a redemption story, because it says then in verse 19, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. And I've seen God do that. And there are people sitting here in this place today because of God's faithfulness and because his love endures forever. And they know that he saves people from their distress. And he sends forth his word, and he's healed them, and he rescues them from the grave. And if you want to ask me a question, say, I would like to meet somebody like that, I can introduce you to people here today that know God's salvation, that know God's redemption from that which would have killed them. That which was killing off every good possibility for their life. Let them give thanks to the Lord. See, there's this recurring thing. What is it? You cry out to the Lord. You recognize, I need someone to save me. My life needs to be redeemed. I need to be bought by somebody who's bigger and stronger and cares about me to lift me out of where I'm stuck. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, verse 21, and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So there's one more scenario. Now, I don't know whether you've already got a scenario. Yeah, that one fits me. I reckon this one's pretty much, this scenario, you could nearly say this one's pretty much for lots of Aussies. Now, you don't have to be a fisherman or an international entrepreneur or trader to fit this one. You can just be a person that knows how to get on with a job and you know how to make money. You can be really focused and you're really good at what you do. It says in verse 23, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. You know what? Everything around you, you don't have to go to the beach to see the wonderful works of God. Yes, they're there. But you can see the wonderful works of God anywhere. You can go with William up into the mountains and do some crazy things in four-wheel drives and see it there too. You can see the wonderful works of God. You can open your eyes and see in the gardens around about you, in the beautiful places where all around you, you haven't got an excuse. The Bible says the works of God are around you everywhere, and they're telling a story that there's a creator, your creator, and you need to take notice. And these people, they see the wonderful works of God out there on the high seas. They're obviously people that have got a bit of substance, they can afford to go and they can trade internationally. Now listen to this, verse 25. And this speaks of the sovereignty of God. This speaks about the care of God, about God intervening in situations. He spoke, that is God, and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. Now, I've traveled in a boat down the East Coast a couple of times. One time in a pretty flash boat that we were a crew on, and I conned Lynn into coming with me. And as we came safely into Sydney Heads, I said to Lynn, "How did you enjoy that?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." She didn't feel well the whole time. "Would you like to do it again?" She goes, "No." I said, "Ah, okay, so we're not doing this together very often then." We brought a boat down from just south of Sydney down to here once, and it was only a three metre waves and a 1 metre chop on top of that, and that was exciting enough for me. But what God is talking about, what the Word of God is talking about here, is bigger than that. The tempest had been stirred up, and people were lifted high on waves. And you could look on YouTube, but you could look at great tankers, great seagoing things that carry thousands and thousands of tons of product, and you can see them crashing over these massive waves. It would be frightening to be out there. A 3 metre swell with a 1 metre chop was enough for me. I was thinking, I wonder if I asked for a helicopter to come, would they come and get me? Oh, that would sound weak, but I would like to be out of here. Three times the skipper said to me, "Michael, this is not dangerous, it's just uncomfortable." I was thinking, I would hate to see dangerous. But this was worse than that. And it was a situation that would test the best of them. And there are probably situations in your life where you've seen situations that have tested you to the max. And you might sometimes think, well, how come God is letting this happen to me? Why does it need to be this hard? Why does my business need to go to the very brink? And many of us have been in places like that. And, you know, I trust you, God. Why isn't it just good for me all the time? Well, God is sovereignly working in your life. God is doing things that you will only learn in the times where you have to trust Him and trust Him alone. At times when you are brought to the place, well, all you can do is cry out to Him. Don't think that you can live your life and avoid those times. Those times come. Times when our courage melts away. In verse 27, they reeled and they staggered like drunken men, and they were at their wits' end. But you know, it brings people who could live fairly independent and fairly affluent lives like many of us can. It brings us to that place we need to come. And this one, I think, also speaks into the life of probably the average Australian. It calls us to that place where we cry out to the Lord in our trouble. And He brought them out of their distress. See, I don't know what your scenario is. I can't know what you're facing, and I can't know what you're feeling. And even if you talk to me about it, I can't know as much as what you know and what you feel. I can't know what the things that you're hoping for. I can't know what things where you've failed. I can't know the things that you found so hard, and I can't know what you've taken for granted in your life. And maybe it is that you've taken for granted the fact that the Lord is good and His love endures forever. And perhaps it has been a long time since you've said so. But we need to come back to that place. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And they were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord. What for? For His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt in Him. Let them exalt Him in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the council of the elders. I don't know whether there's any one of these scenarios that that you identify with. There may be some aspect of one of them. There may be some aspects of several of them that speak into your heart. You know, the very closing line of this psalm, it says in verse 43, it says, "Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord." Now, I don't know that anybody of us here would go, "Hey, look, I'm quite happy 2022. I'm happy to just be a complete idiot. You know, I'm happy just to kind of bluff my way through. I don't want to think about anything." I think most of us would like to think, "Yeah, I'd like to make some wise choices. I'd like to operate in a manner where I take notice of what is true." Well, these stories are here for you. And they're here for you so that you might have a redemption story to live out, which is a bigger story than you've ever imagined you could be caught up in. You know, if God had laid out the blueprints of my life when I was 18 or 20, I reckon I might have run the other way, because it would have been too big and too different to what I had in my mind. And I'm so glad that he has written a redemption story that I kind of caught up with a little bit and have got in step with somewhat, and have found that his ways are better than my ways by a long shot. I remember as a young apprentice building a house in Howlong, just on the New South Wales border, and I remember hearing on the news that Elvis Presley had died. Now, for some of us here that are old enough, yes, you might remember that, but it was really important to me because I had these ambitions. I thought, you know what? I'm going to knock Elvis Presley off his throne. I'm going to be such a great musician, such a great singer. You think, "Oh, Michael, you're not that good." Yeah, well, I've come to realize that. But back then I didn't. I had this incredible notion that was going to be the blueprint of my life. And then I thought, well, maybe just Slim Dusty. Now, he's died, and yeah, he's still more famous than me. We can have some crazy ideas, some crazy dreams. But let me tell you, God has got a better story than your crazy dreams. You know, there might be some aspects of them that God is crafting and making and molding that the very desires of your heart that are a little bit distorted or a lot distorted, he would change and bring into focus in Christ. I know he's done that for me. And I know there's a redemption story that he's caught me up in. I want to say to every single one of you here, there's a redemption story that Jesus would catch you up in. And I know there are many here who say, "Yes, and it's marvelous. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, that I finally got with what Jesus was doing. He's redeemed my life from what was worthless." How worthless would it have been for me to have pursued my crazy boyish dream? How empty would that have been in comparison to what he has done? Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. What are we supposed to say? That the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Give thanks to him because the Lord is good and because his love endures forever. Be ones that cry out to the Lord no matter what the scenario is. Be ones that call out to him in your distress, because he is the one that would deliver you. He is the one that would redeem you no matter what the trouble. He's the one that would bring you out of your stress and would still the storm and would guide you to the place that is best to be. I look at this and I think these are real life steps for you that you can explore. These are kind of life actions and life attitudes for you to take hold of in 2022. You could read this again and again and again and have God speak into your heart truth that you need to take hold of. there's an opportunity for real appreciation for his wonderful deeds that he would work out in your life, where he satisfies, where he breaks down the things that have been holding you and sets you free, where he heals, where he rescues, where he stills, and where he guides. And you can be sure of his sovereign hand, because if we just read and you think, huh, Michael, you dodged the hard bit. No, I haven't. In verse 32, it says this. Sorry, verse 33, it says, he turned the rivers into desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing streams. There he brought the hungry to live, and he founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards, and it yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression and calamity and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in trackless waste, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. You know, it's the sovereign Lord that turns things around. There are seasons where he turns things around and life is hard. And maybe we think the last 2 years have been pretty hard and we're hoping that 2022 is going to be better. That's a natural thing. It's the Lord who turns things around. The thing for you and the thing for me is to recognize that, to trust in that. For us to be people who would cry out to him and seek him and wait for him and give thanks to him because he is good. And you can trust in his loving kindness, in his steadfast love, in his compassion and his mercy because it endures forever. And there is a bigger story for you to be caught up in, for you to be part of. It's a redemption story. And it's a story for you to share. It's a story where there are people around you that need to hear you say so. They need to hear your redemption story. And you might naturally think, many of you say, well, you know, like me, I grew up in a home where I saw the truth of who Jesus was lived out in front of me, and I was blessed in that, and my life kind of looked okay. I looked like a good person, even though my heart was mixed up and in a mess. And I don't have as dramatic a story as some brothers and sisters here. Hey, I've still got a redemption story, and so have you. It doesn't have to be like somebody else's. If Jesus has worked in your life and called you to himself, and you know what it is like to be saved and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, then you've got a redemption story. And in 2022, there are lots of people that need to hear it. Don't let any thought, any doubt that comes to your mind downplay your redemption story. Because God is in mind for there to be a flow-on effect from your redemption story. God wants your scenario to be told. God wants you to point people to this same wonderful Redeemer that you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he would use you in that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Father, I pray that we would always be grateful that you would redeem us, that you would deliver us I pray that we would live with songs of deliverance. I pray that we would be glad to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, Father, lead us, we pray. Lord, be glorified as we share our redemption story. Because, Lord, we give thanks to you because you are good and because your love endures forever. Amen. Sorry? Can I just say, if this morning something happened in your heart and in your mind that you didn't expect, and you would like to just explore what steps really are involved in knowing what it is to see this redemption story begin, then I would just love to sit with you and point you in God's word how you can be on the right track. Don't let the opportunity slip past. Don't be in any way self-conscious or embarrassed, because Jesus is opening up for you this God-given opportunity to know this redemption story worked out in your life. May the Lord bless you as you, as we venture into this year, as we seek to follow the Lord Jesus and honor him in all we do. The Lord bless you.